Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel lesson for today, we see two crowds, two very different crowds, two very large crowds moving towards each other. And when two large opposing forces are moving towards each other, well, bad things can happen. It was on May 31st, about a week ago. I thought it was 5 years ago, but apparently my wife corrected me and Andrew Nelson in the conversation. It was 7 years ago now, when two such opposing forces were moving towards each other here in St. Charles County. A high-pressure system and a low-pressure system. And the result was a touchdown. Not in the football sense, but in the tornado sense. It touched down 1 mile from our house. There was a lot of damage in that 1 mile radius of our house. Some people completely lost their house, completely blown away. We had damage, but nothing compared to them. In fact, the thing that was damaged the most was an old grill, smashed to smithereens. It was a grill I wanted to get rid of, and when I stepped out into my backyard, it was in pieces, small enough pieces where I could just pick them up and put them in the trash. When opposing forces, strong opposing forces, are converging on one another, bad things can happen. A high-pressure system versus a low-pressure system can cause a tornado. A highly contagious disease versus a successful, busy life, a booming economy, well, that can cause sudden economic downturn, unemployment, recession, social isolation. In our gospel lesson, we see two large crowds, two opposing large crowds from very different perspectives, converging outside of a small village of Nain. The one crowd from the town of Nain, a considerable crowd, the Bible calls it, is following a poor widow outside of the town to bury her only son. The woman, the widow, had already had to bury her husband. She was already poor, and now the whole village gathers around her as she not only has to bury her last family member, her only son, but this is burying her only way to survive, her only son. The other large crowd was made up of a mix of people, I'm sure, but in that crowd most likely were friends of a centurion, a certain centurion. A centurion is a Roman guard who has authority over 100 other Roman guards. And I would guess that perhaps this centurion himself was in the crowd. After all, Jesus had just healed his beloved servant from not just some minor ailment, but a certain death-guaranteeing disease. If they would have had hospice in those days, this servant would have been on morphine at the end of hospice. But Jesus spoke a word to the friends of the centurion. A centurion, a Roman Gentile, rich man with lots of authority. Jesus spoke just a word to his friends. And by his word, he healed the servants, a man that was as good as dead. And so now there's two crowds, both large crowds moving towards each other, both with different experiences, both with different perspectives. One crowd is full of life, one crowd is full of death. One crowd has people of great wealth and power, centurions and friends of centurions. The other crowd has the poorest of the poor leading them, a childless, bereaved widow. And the two are about to clash. Now I can imagine what the widow and her friends may have been thinking, because I felt it and thought it myself. Where is this crowd coming from? What's all the commotion about? Don't they know we're in a funeral procession? Can't they have some respect? It's how I felt before when we were heading to Jefferson Barracks. We have all the lights flashing. There's a hearse in front of us, sometimes even a policeman. And people are weaving in and out of our procession. Have some respect. Yes, bad things could have happened when these two crowds were converging, as sometimes does happen when two converging opposing forces meet in the middle. But at this time and in this place, when a tornado of all things could have happened in this town of Nain, Jesus was standing in the middle. Jesus was leading the loud and lively crowd right for the somber, suffering crowd. And Jesus did so on purpose. He did so because he was about to show the loud and lively Gentile mixed crowd that he is even more than a miracle healer, more than a death-defying doctor. Jesus was about to show that he is the Lord of life, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And Jesus leads the crowd to the other crowd and does the unfathomable. He first breaks through the weeping of the widow with a seemingly cold command. Stop your crying. What? Sounds like Jesus is scolding a 3 or 4 year old. Stop your crying. How can Jesus, of all people, say that? Have some respect. But then Jesus breaks through the social customs of the Jewish crowd. He breaks the social distancing that's expected for ceremonial cleanliness and ritual purity, especially around a dead corpse. Jesus walks up to the dead body and he touches it. You can't do that, especially a rabbi, somebody who's seen as a great teacher, touching a dead body in front of lots of people nonetheless. And then he commands death to stop deathing. He commands the dead son, arise. And the dead son, now he listens to the word and sits up. He speaks, the Bible says. And so do both the crowds. Together they proclaim, God has visited his people. Now, this is not some parable on how we are to be like Jesus, how we should break social distancing to show compassion to others. Jesus broke social distancing. He broke the rules to do more than just show compassion. He did so to raise the dead. We are not Jesus. We cannot raise the dead. And this is not some parable teaching us simply to be compassionate. If it were, then Jesus wouldn't have used this story to teach us that. Because again, the whole point of the story is Jesus raised the dead, and I'm sorry, I can't do that, and neither can you. This is not a parable. It's a true story, first of all, a historic true story. It's a true story of the Lord of life who came to this world to give his life and to give it so he could give life abundantly to all people. And this Lord of life goes to give life where the cameras are not flashing. He shows in this 7th chapter of Luke that he, the most powerful creator of the heavens and the earth, cares for even an anonymous dying servant of a Roman unclean, according to the Jews, Gentile centurion. And when those unclean Gentile outcasts see what Jesus does, taking a man from pretty much the end of hospice back to life again, he then takes the happy, clappy Gentile crowd with him to see even greater things. His power to raise yet another anonymous man. This time, not a Gentile and not a servant of a rich man, but a Jewish man, a poor Jewish man of a widow. Now, I can't even begin to imagine the celebratory meal or meals that would have followed this miracle of raising the dead. The meals had been prepared, the funeral luncheon, that is. They were going to go back and eat, but not to weep. And I'm sure Jesus, in the middle, would have had the Gentiles come along. Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, would be eating together with the Lord of life in the middle, who came to visit them in their time of trouble. No, this is not a parable. But if it were, the point of this narrative is not to show us how to be like Jesus, because you and I can't raise the dead. And the point of the narrative is not for you and I to try to pick which crowd would we represent. The point of this narrative is not to relate to the rich nor the poor. The point of the narrative, if you really want to understand this narrative, is if you want to be somebody in the text, it's the corpse in the casket, the dead son of the widow. Because when we look at ourselves in the mirror, through God's mirror, we're all dead on our own. As St. Paul reminds us, you were dead in sins and your trespasses, but God being rich in his mercy, has made you alive. God is the one who made you alive, together with and by the means of his only Son, his beloved servant, not from Nain, not of a centurion, but from heaven, from Nazareth later on, Jesus, God's only Son, God's beloved servant, the Christ. And that's important for us to recognize when we read this text. Because no matter what COVID-19 or anything else in all the world has done to destroy or deflate or isolate you from life and community, from love and respect of or love and respect for your neighbor, no matter who that neighbor is, or whatever you feel is a lack of these things from your God. The truth is this, no matter how you feel or what you've been through, Jesus stands in the middle. Jesus stands in the middle of your life, in the middle of your situation, in the middle of your church, in the middle of your community, in the middle of our community and church. And he stands in the middle with one purpose, to bring life and bring it to the full. And we know now more than the two crowds standing outside the town of Nain knew then. We know that this Jesus did more than raise a dead boy from Nain. Jesus did more than stand between two great crowds outside of Nain. Jesus stood on a cross in the middle of two criminals, bringing death to sin and the power of Satan. He then stood in the middle of an empty tomb, showing power not just over his death, but over all death. And that same Jesus stood in the middle of his disciples, resurrected and living, sending them out not just to the Jews, but to the world, to bring life, his life, and bring it to the full. That same Jesus, the same Jesus that stood outside of Nain, that stood on a cross, that stood in the empty tomb, that stood amongst the disciples living, he stands in the middle of our church this morning and this weekend, resurrected, ascended, living and reigning no matter what it looks like. And one day, he will come again, and he will judge all of us. And one day, he will take all of us who believe in him to a new paradise, where there are no more messes or diseases or racial injustice or anything else that's going to bring us down. But before that, he descends. He descends every time we gather. He descends among us in his word with the same command that he gave those disciples at his resurrection. Because you who have been made alive, you have a gift now to give. Freely you have been given, now freely give, Jesus said. You have been made alive by the same Jesus who made the boy from Nain alive, by his same grace-filled word in your baptism. And so now Jesus tells us all, go among all the nations and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, in the middle of it all, far beyond the end of COVID, even to the end of the world. In Jesus' name, amen.